Good morning and welcome to 2021. This is Rosemary Burns and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk Therapy. So if this is your first time joining us, welcome. And if you're a repeat listener, thank you again for joining us. And what can I say? Happy 2021. 2020 gone by. Yay. Hopefully this year will bring everybody blessings and just good things. I wish good things for everybody. So I don't know what this podcast is going to be about today. when I go on vacation, I go on vacation because I rarely take vacation during the year. I kind of try and make it coincide with how the schools take their time off because of my daughter. She's still, she's in high school. And so I like to take off time when she is off time. And so, yeah. And then when I'm on vacation, I don't want to look at emails. I don't want to, I mean, if there's an emergency, cause you all know I'm a therapist. So if there's emergency, I will take care of that. But otherwise I'm like, my phone is off. It's, you know, kind of far away from where I am. I don't check it every day. If I'm going to be totally honest, yes, I will check Facebook every once in a while. Cause you know, connection with friends who are far away and stuff like that. But I try not to be on it very much. And try not to do a lot of work. And so, this week, I would say maybe the past couple of days, I was like, okay, what am I going to do my podcast on? You know, it would be nice to have a goal of I'm going to do this topic, then this topic, and this topic. And I have, you know, a framework in my head of things I want to talk about since starting the new year. That has not been organized and not really given the due diligence that it needs to create a good framework of, you know, for a plan. And that's okay because it was my time off and I'm okay with that. So this is what I came up with to talk about today. I know I wanted to talk about getting in more depth with the kinds of therapy because we kind of started last year. Well, you know, derailed because of COVID and everything like that. But therapy 101 was kind of the starting point of really getting into what we do in therapy. And so I kind of wanted this year to kind of be therapy 201 and get more in depth with different kinds of treatments and stuff like that. So what a good segue to lead into this topic is spoiler alerts. Over the weekend, I did not watch Cobra Kai on the day it was released because I was watching football. I love college football. So I was watching college football that day. But Saturday, decided to binge watch the third season of Cobra Kai. So if you have not seen Cobra Kai at all, I'll just say I highly recommend it, especially if you have any idea what The Karate Kid is. If you don't know what that is, yes, it might be a little dated for, you know, younger generation millennials. But I don't even want to say that because I still think it is an excellent movie. But of course, I grew up with it. Or with them, I should say. So there's, you know, Karate Kid, Karate Kid 2, Karate Kid 3, and then it goes into kind of more extended ones. But really, 1, 2, and 3 are the core ones that have the character Daniel LaRusso in them. Cobra Kai is a, what, like 30 year, is it 30, is it even more than that? I don't like math, I'm not doing math today. But long time since the movies were released, and so it has some of the same characters, a lot of the same characters actually that were in the original movies, and I just find it to be really, really good. It's very entertaining, and kind of course has the nostalgic factor, which is great. So here's your spoilers though. So I'm, you know, up to date. I've watched the first two seasons and the third season dropped on, New Year's Day. And so it's just fun. So I'm trying to figure out how to talk about it, without really giving too much away. The main point that I want to get across is, the depiction of mental health issues in in mainstream movies, media, which I know we have talked about before, but since this is just a new series that came out, I just thought it was fantastic. It was great. The way last season ended, here's a spoiler, is with a huge fight in the high school between the teenagers. Some things extremely far-fetched because, you know, I'm not a kid watching this. I'm a parent watching this. And I'm like, where are the teachers? Where are, you know, the resource officers? Or, you know, why was the police not called? Because essentially a teenager threatened another teenager over the loudspeaker. How did she get into the office to use the intercom? And so, you know, some far-fetched things. I'm like, yeah, that would never happen in today's world. And I mean, it's supposed to be set in today's world, but still, I'm like, that would not happen in today's world, especially with, unfortunately, with the increased security and things that have had to be put in place in schools. And so I'm like, yeah, so that would not happen. The fact that she got over the intercom and verbally threatened another student, the police would have been called immediately. Or if it wasn't immediately, the school counselors and teachers, principal, yeah, she would not have had access to the other student. So in any case, the realism aside, there's a huge fight and another student gets seriously injured. And so that's kind of where they leave it. And of course, it's not the end of the series. It was just the end of the season for season two. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where are the parents? Where, you know, those are the questions I ask being an adult and a parent and a therapist. So this year starts, or not this year. Well, technically, yes, this year. This season starts out with the student who was injured is in the hospital in a coma, and you know, it still is the aftermath, which really nothing. They said a bunch of students were suspended, and then they do touch on it just a little bit. There's like a school board meeting, and you're kind of told really briefly that students were expelled and suspended and that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, well, they touched on it a little bit. So that's all leading up to one of the characters who is one of the teenagers that was involved in the fight, who also was injured very badly by a weapon that was brought to the school by the girl who threatened her. She got like slashed on her forearm. No, not forearm. Her upper arm. And anyway, so what they show is the girl who is injured starts to have PTSD symptoms. And I think they did a really great depiction of her starting to have PTSD symptoms. It was great. And they actually did some of the not so common symptoms of PTSD. So they kind of show her, let me back up for a second. Common symptoms of PTSD: flashbacks, intrusive thoughts, nightmares, increased startle response, or hypervigilance is the big word for that. Those are some of the main symptoms for PTSD. There are more. There's a lot more, actually, in the DSM. If you remember what the DSM is, that's the book that is used to diagnose somebody with mental health conditions. So they show her with a very different attitude towards like her parents and her friends. She seems very irritable, irritated, and like on edge, kind of combative, which she never really was previous in the previous seasons. So there was a difference. I noticed a stark difference in her behavior there. She was never really one to like back talk her parents, or anything like that. And she kind of is doing that. And then she has nightmares. They do show her having a nightmare. And then they also show her, starting to have like panic attacks, which, if you have never experienced a panic attack, what they made her look like is difficulty breathing, pain or tightness in her chest, feeling like she's out of control and can't do anything. Those are essentially what they kind of depicted in the show. And I was like, oh, that's really, really good. But she's also quite seemingly instigating. So she's kind of getting her group of karate students that belong to the same dojo as she does, and kind of is instigating them to go after the Cobra Kai, essentially. Cobra Kai, who's the other karate dojo, because they're bullying, and it's lots of animosity. I mean, obviously, they're the ones who were in the fight at the end of last season. And so she's kind of instigating them, like, we have to go after them. We have to, you know, not let them get away with what they're doing. For example, one of the Cobra Kai students goes to, like, it looks like an arcade-type place, like Dave and Buster's. And basically, they kind of steal some stuffed animals that are from the prize, you know, the prize shelves that you turn in tickets. They kind of steal some of those. And so from one of the other students is a worker there. And again, my husband and I were watching and we're like, okay, that's theft. You know, where's the police? All those kids would get arrested for stealing. So realism, again, realism aside. So the girl who's instigating her group of karate students to go after the Cobra Kai, they go after them, and she essentially starts panicking, and she freezes. So we've talked about fright, flight, or freeze. Those are responses that a human can go into if they're faced with some kind of major traumatic event where they feel threatened, like they're in serious danger or life-threatening situation. And so they basically show her cowering down, even though she had just been the instigator, which again was totally outside her character previously. And she cowers down. She starts having a panic attack. She can't breathe, and she hides essentially. She hides so that the one girl that continues to be fighting between the two of them can't find her. And because that happens, one of her teammates gets his arm broken. Which again, I'm like, oh my gosh, police! This would not. You know, purposely somebody broke his arm. And yeah, again, I'm like, oh my gosh, realism. Mm. So, the point I'm trying to make is they do a really great job demonstrating what a PTSD would look like. If you saw somebody who is starting to experience, now I'm not saying she was having a flashback. It doesn't seem like they were depicting a flashback, but they seemed to show like she was having a panic attack and super afraid. And then of course, after the fact of that happening, she feels shame and embarrassed and guilty because her friends got hurt. And for a little bit, they show her, you know, not opening up and talking to her parents, which she normally would open up and talk to her parents, but did not, and kind of is retreating back into herself, which again, that could actually be a symptom of all kinds of mental health issues like depression, anxiety, and PTSD. And so they kind of show that for a minute, and then she actually goes and she talks with her dad, and she kind of does open up about what happened, and I thought it was really, really good. And then we have some more unrealistic things. So she's telling all about these symptoms, and then it's like magically the talk with her dad makes them go away. Now, I'm just saying they depict that it goes away, because after the talk, she doesn't really have those symptoms anymore that they show, at least yet. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, if you start to experience PTSD symptoms until you actually go get help from your doctor or a therapist, they're not going to go away just from having a talk with somebody. That's where triggers come into to play. Like out in the real world, we've talked about triggers before. When you're out in the real world and all of a sudden something happens in the real world in your day-to-day that reminds you of something that happened, something that was that life-threatening event, or that serious event that you either witnessed or were a part of. And so, yeah, realism on that one. Again, still love the show, love the show, but I guess I can't turn that part off in my brain. That's just like, no, that would not happen like that. But still, I'm not poo-pooing on the show. Like I said, I really love it. They did a really good job of showing some of the underlying symptoms and what something like PTSD can look like and what a trigger can look like. And what can happen to somebody if they're just out and about. And it could be very scary, because sometimes triggers can send you into a full-blown panic attack, full-blown flashback that you're not expecting. And when that happens, it's scary. So no wonder she actually, you know, cowered down and hid. And that's not judgment on her. It was a survival instinct. That's basically what the fight, flight, and freeze responses are. They're survival instincts. And so, like I said, really, really good job of showing that. And when I see them depicting symptoms of mental health, it just makes me happy. Because again, remember back in the day and back even last year when I was kind of doing my little movie kick in October, they really kind of did... some movies really did a disservice or helped perpetuate the misconception of mental illness. And so when you see more updated current shows and movies that actually are more realistic in terms of symptoms and stuff, and granted, like I said, I understand it's a TV show, and I understand that for, you know, the basis of time and trying to show time progressing faster than, you know, maybe just a day, in shows we don't really get a good time frame of when, how long things have been all the time. But still, showing that, it, I think, is really great and really wonderful. So if you haven't seen it, of course, I recommend that you watch it. I will continue watching it. Of course, since I'm done watching it, I have to wait who knows how long for season 4 to come out. But, you know, that's okay. That is okay. And so with that, what I want to finish with is, so we've seen a character in the show obviously having symptoms, obviously having difficulty. And in the real world, it doesn't get resolved with just talking to your dad or a family member or friend or whatever. So if you're experiencing symptoms like this, or if something really terrible has happened to you and you're experiencing irritability, can't sleep, nightmares, flashbacks, intrusive thoughts, panic attacks, depression, anxiety, it can be symptoms of PTSD. And of course, so there's where you want to go see your doctor and go see a therapist. And what I'd like to get into next time, here's my plan, unless something comes up in the week that sparks my attention that I want to be like, ooh, I want to talk about that, because that happens to me sometimes. What I'd really like to get into is my first modality of therapy that I want to talk about is EMDR. And that's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Big words. You don't have to worry about the words. Just know that it is one of the best treatments for PTSD that is out there. I have talked about it a little bit in previous sessions, but now I want to go more in depth so that I can try and help you get a better understanding of what it exactly is like. And so it's not only that it is my specialty, but I will throw that disclaimer out there. Yes, that is my specialty. It is a trauma treatment, but not only is it, you know, my favorite mode of therapy, but it is also evidence-based. And so when I say that again, that means that there is research, tons of research that shows how effective it is for the treatment of PTSD and trauma. And so with that, I'm going to leave you thinking about that. That is my plan for next time. Hopefully that won't change, but you know, it's good to be flexible, especially starting out a new year with being flexible and trying to be organized at the same time. It's a challenge, but we're up for it. Thank you again so much for joining me, and we'll talk to you next week.